See, a policeman has power. How does he feel? See, you know what he feels? He knows. He doesn't feel. Okay, it's the rookies, the new ones, that feel the power. Right? They're the ones that want to walk around, and they got the badge, and they got the gun, you know, and they want to walk around. They go around to everybody else. Look. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just feel the authority. See? That's the way they do it. That's why they put them with training sergeants that have been there 30 years. Because the rookies are all up here, and the training sergeants are up, and so they balance out. And they'll calm down. Don't get excited. You don't have to shoot everybody. Right? And so, but you have to have that, you don't have a feeling, you just do your job. You know your authority. When a policeman goes out there, he knows, if I tell you to stop, you're going to stop. One way or the other. You can do it the easy way or the hard way. Right? You can obey the authority, or you can obey the ability. It's that simple. Amen? That's what you have to get. You have authority and you have ability. The authority to as many as received him gave he authority, power, authority to become the sons of God. That's your authority. But you shall receive ability after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That's Acts 1:8. That's the ability. That's the power. So he gives you the authority and then he gives you the ability to back it up. Now, and as you go forward, you don't have to feel any certain way. You just know. It's knowing over and over. Paul never said, listen, feel. He said, no, knowing this, brethren, I would not have you ignorant, knowing this. Amen? He never said, brethren, I want you to have a feeling. Brethren, I hope you feel loved of God. He didn't say any of that kind of stuff. He said, I want you to know. He said, brethren, I hope you feel like you're separated from sin. He didn't say that. He said, you must reckon yourself dead to sin so that sin will no longer have dominion over your mortal bodies. Amen? He didn't say feel it. I mean, let me ask you this. Think about this. If you've been married 10, 15, 20, 30 years, you wake up sometimes, you don't necessarily feel the same way you did on your honeymoon. Right? But whether you feel married or not, bless God, you better act married. Right? I don't care what you're feeling, you better act like it's real. Right? Wigglesworth used to say, well, actually, as John Lake originally said this, he said, it is a law of the human mind that I can act myself into believing faster than I can believe myself into acting. See, the church keeps trying to believe itself into acting. The church keeps thinking, well, if I study and I hear and I listen and I study and I hear, eventually it'll just overflow and it'll happen. That is not true. You go act like it's real and then the feeling will catch up. You go act like it's real and whatever you need to happen will start to happen, but you have to act like it's real to begin with. You act yourself into believing. Once you start acting, you'll believe it. Right? I mean, even how you stand and how you walk and things, all that has to do with you can act yourself into feeling better. I guarantee if I had all of you get up and walk around here for 15, 20 minutes, and I'd tell you, okay, here's what we're going to do. Now, you're going to take small steps. You're going to hunch your shoulders over as far as you can get them. But you're going to bring them forward. You want to bring them in and forward and down. You want to be just like this. And you're going to look down. And you're going to walk around, and you're going to take small steps. And you're going to do this for about 20 minutes. You know what? Every one of you would be in a state of depression in 20 minutes. You know why? Because that's a physiological state. But if I told you, all right, this is one of the reasons when you go in the military, first thing they tell you, stand up straight, shoulders back, head up. You're not looking down, you look straight forward. Right? You put your hands by your side, your thumbs down by your side, hands cupped. And when you walk, and you know it's amazing? Here, I mean, come on. I'm 5'6", 5'7". Right? When I went in the military, I was with guys that were 6 foot tall. Their legs were longer. They came up to my elbow, their legs, right? And yet we all had to march in step, right? They didn't measure their step by my step. I had to measure my step by their step. You know how long it took me to get used to going, okay, nope, that far. Right? I mean, for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to step out there. Okay, no, that's not good. I got to step out there, right? And I had to learn to keep up with these guys, right? And I couldn't take three steps for their one. You know, I couldn't run while they're just walking, and I wasn't going, you know. I had to learn to take the same stride they did. But you know what's amazing? When you started striding with these guys, you felt as tall as these guys because you were keeping up with them. And you keep your head up, your head back, your shoulders back. And that is a physiological state of authority. And when you stand like that long enough, you start to feel it. And it was amazing. I'd get up in the morning, I'd go over, and I would start to put on that uniform. But before I put on that uniform, I was Curry. But when I put on that uniform, all of a sudden, I represented the United States of America. Right? And then all of a sudden, it was, yeah, you can't beat us. Right? Because we had that mentality. But that came from the way they taught us to walk in. It's the same thing. You put yourselves sometimes in states, and you can take yourself out of the states. Amen? You can get yourself in a mental state, and your mental state is not your spiritual state. You can be mentally depressed and spiritually a son of God. That's why the devil works. His methods are carnal. They're not spiritual. They're carnal. He tries to work on your mind. They're soulish. And if he can work on your mind, he can stop the flow of the Spirit coming out of you. But he can't touch your spirit, so he has to dampen the spirit. So he tries to get you into a state of mind so that you won't exude that spirit. Well, the purpose of the ministry is to get your mind renewed to the Word of God to find out who you are, so you'll walk and talk and act like who you are. And then once you start walking in the beginning, you may not feel that way. You may be, well, I feel like I'm lying. Well, it's truth here, right? And you speak it here until it becomes truth there. And when the two line up, power flows. Amen? So if you get in that state, you can get yourself out of that state. It's real simple. Amen? This is why Tony Robbins and all those guys, Anthony Robbins, that's why he's made millions. Why? Because all he did was watch that and then start telling people how to stand and all that stuff. And all his success is in just telling people how to model other people. Find somebody successful and do what they do. Well, that's a simple story. And yet you pay thousands of dollars to go to his seminars. Right? When you can go to any Walmart and pick up a Bible for 10 bucks. Right? Or if you ain't got 10 bucks, go to a motel room. They got them in the drawers. Right? Okay? Just make sure which one you're pulling out now, because now they got the Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Bible in there now. You know? Now, I got to send you somewhere pretty quick. Yep, we're getting pretty close. Let me finish here. All right. Yep. So you will never again be able to say, I hadn't seen and ear hadn't heard. Amen? Amen? Now it's in you. The Spirit of God that knows the things of God are in you. They are revealing the things that are in you. Amen? So if you hear somebody saying that, just turn it off and toss the CD. Okay? They don't know what you're talking about. It's like I tell people, you know, if I was trying to make money, I'm not going to listen to somebody that's broke. Amen? If I did, I'm going to do the opposite of what he says. Right? If I want to make money, I'm going to listen to somebody that's rich, and not just somebody that's rich, because you don't know, they might have inherited it. They may still be stupid. Right? I'm going to find somebody that's rich, and then they lost all their money, and then they made it back again. Right? Now, when they make it back again, that's when you know that they know something. Amen? So when you hear somebody, I'm not going to listen to somebody that's, well, you know, I want you to listen to me, but I'm not going to tell you anything. Because that's what most people do. You know, well, you know, it's just by his presence. Okay, how do I get that? Well, you just, it's just spiritual. Okay, I spent my $10 on a CD to hear that. You ain't teaching me anything. You understand? If somebody's going to teach you something, if you're going to pay money for something, bless God, you ought to learn something. Amen? Amen? And not just something that sounds religious or sounds spiritual or sounds real holy, or because most of that stuff is garbage anyway. It's not Bible. The Bible is extremely practical. Right? It tells you how to help people. It tells you how to deal with God, deal with man, deal with yourself. The Bible should always lead you to be better. Amen? You get that? Listen, don't waste your money on stupid stuff. Right? Stuff that ain't going to help you grow anywhere, but just sounds spiritual. You know, I go on about this stuff because it really, it, it irks me to watch the body of Christ literally just get ripped off like that. So anyway, he says, verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Why? "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Why do you have the spirit? So you can know what's been freely given to you by God. Do you hear that? The reason you have the spirit is so you can know what God has freely given you, not what you've had to buy. Amen? Not what you had to sow a vow offering for. The things have been freely given to you of God. God gives you everything freely. Now, listen, sowing and reaping is true. It's a law. It works, right? But it's a natural law. God said in Genesis, as long as there's sun and moon and earth and all that, there's going to be seed time and harvest, right? How many of you know seed time and harvest works for anybody? It works for farmers. It works for born again, not born again. It works. Amen? Why? Because it's a natural law. Okay? It works. It worked for what's it, J.C. Penney? Right? He was a tither. And R.G. Letourneau from Longview, Texas, started Letourneau College, which was a Christian college. He started out tithing at 10%. When he died, he was giving away 90% and living on 10% and still died a multimillionaire. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because it's a law that works. All right? Can't get around it. It works. Now, but there is a higher law. That's natural law. Any human can do that. A higher law is kingdom law. And that is, it is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not for you to sow for the kingdom. He gives you the kingdom. See, now understand, I believe you sow, you reap. You sow, you reap. That's true. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You understand? If you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you're living by sowing and reaping. That's a truth. But the law, and I used to, I was a stickler for this stuff. I mean, I wrote down what I sowed and then had a little box on the side and said 30, 60, 100 fold. And I wrote this, that times 30, that times 60, that times 100. Then when a bill came in, I'd look for that amount. Oh, there it is right there. Boom, marked it off. Thank you, Father. Receive it. And you get paid. Right? Why? Because it works. Okay? It's just a law. But then, that was all based on my sowing. That didn't help me in a crisis. You understand? So I had to learn that I don't operate by natural law. I operate by kingdom law. The kingdom law is everything that the Father has is mine. I don't have to sow for it. Now, should I sow? Yeah, you know what's amazing? When you learn this, we'll find out what your heart is. Because if you give to get, then you will give because you need to get. But if you start to operate in kingdom law and you realize it and your heart is right toward God, you'll give more because now you realize you're not giving based on what you've got. You're giving knowing that God will meet your need so you can give more. Amen. See, that what we're saying is when you take off restrictions like that, you find out what's really in a person's heart. See, if they go, oh, I don't have to sow to get anymore? Oh, great, well, I'm just going to keep my money in my pocket. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That reveals your heart. See, it shows that you're still a selfish heart. If that's you, then guess what? You might need to check it because you might not be able to receive from the kingdom because you might not be in it yet. Amen. If your heart is that way. You see, you may starve. Do you get that? But like yesterday, y'all notice, I didn't even take up offering yesterday. You know why? Because my mind ain't there. You know why? Because I'm not dependent on you. God is my source. If everybody in this room said, we're not going to give a dime at all to these meetings, guess what? My needs, my bills, I support people. We support orphanages. We do all kinds of stuff. We support people. We got people that work for us. We're putting out more money than we ever have before. And yet at the same time, there's no pressure on me for money. None whatsoever. Why? Because I know my Heavenly Father will take care of me. Amen? No matter what you do. Now, if you want to become part of this and get blessed by it, then yeah, you give into it and God sees that and there's a blessing according to it. Sure there is, right? And you can take part of it. And it helps. And, you know, our partners help us immensely. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the things that happen. We were in a partners meeting in Texas just a while back. My second Tahoe, I was getting ready to retire it. My first one retired at 430,000 miles. I mean, amazing car. I like Tahoes. And then I got my second Tahoe, and it was up around 250 or something like that. And the transmission started having some problems, and I started looking at it, and there were some other things going on. So I thought, I just need a new vehicle because it was too small, couldn't carry everything we needed. I need a bigger vehicle. And so we had a partner meeting, and I don't tell you things, our partners, just so people will know and so people will do things. But I just told them, I said, we're about ready to retire a second Tahoe. I said, here's the state of the ministry, what we're doing. So I'll be getting another vehicle before long, and this time I already have what I want, and it needs to be a bigger vehicle. And I said, but it's our partners that help us do these things, and because of the money that comes in on a monthly basis, we set it aside for what we need, that kind of thing. And it was amazing. We got done, and I had three people come up, and they said, while we were sitting there, when you mentioned the vehicle, God spoke to us. We're going to donate this much money toward a vehicle. And they, right then, well, I didn't ask them for it. I wouldn't share anything to try to get anybody to do that. I don't do that. I let my needs be known unto God, right? And so, funny thing was, we met with them. In another meeting after that, they each, amazing things. All three families decided what they were going to do. They each put a check in a different envelope. When they gave them the envelopes, we added it up. And it was amazing because when I went back and started looking for a vehicle, the vehicle I said that I wanted, to the penny, what they gave. So then I went, I cashed the checks. It's the funniest thing to watch, too. I cashed the checks, got it all in $100 bills, cash, because cash talks, right? You can usually get a better deal with cash. So I go over with this bag with cash money in it, okay? It was $25,000. I'll tell you what it was, $25,000. It was amazing. No pressure. I never worried about a car, never thought about it, never. Listen, money will either be a terrible god or a good tool. One or the other. Do you understand? If money is your god, guess what? You'll never have enough. But if it's a tool, what you need will always be there. Amen? And it was the funniest thing to watch because I met with these people. We went over, I had the cash in a bag. We met with them in a church parking lot there in Dallas. And I said, yep. We drove it around the parking lot. I said, yep, this is it. It's what I want. Okay, let's do it. And the guy said, you want to do it now? I said, yeah, let's do it now. And he said, oh, well, they talked to other people, I guess, and other people weren't ready to do it. I said, no, I ain't got time to play. I'm leaving for Seattle day after tomorrow. I got to do something now. And they said, okay, well, because I looked around and said, they don't have another vehicle here. I don't know how they're planning on getting back home. I'm ready to buy the vehicle and drive off in it. My daughter was going to drive the other car, my Tahoe. And so they said, okay, well, we'll get with you tonight and we'll get this done. I said, okay, well, it ended up being the next day. So that night I called the guy and I said, are you ready to do this? He said, yeah. He said, how do you want to do it? I said, well, we'll do it cash. He said, okay, will that be a cashier's check or what? I said, no, cash. He said, paper cash? Like cash? He said, you're talking green cash. I said, yeah, that's the only cash. I mean, to me, a check isn't even cash. It's cash. And he said, okay, well, I said, where do you want to meet to do this? They know we can meet and we'll trade out. He goes, well, I don't know. I don't want to take this much cash with me and go home and have to go to the bank tomorrow. I said, well, if you want, we can meet in the morning at your bank. He said, okay. I said, well, just tell me where the bank is. We'll meet there and we'll do it. So we do it. And I called my son. My son said, yeah, do you have the car yet? And I said, no, they're stalling. And I need to hurry because I got to leave tomorrow morning. We've got to get on the road. And he said, well, Dad, did you tell him it was cash? I said, yeah. He goes, well, that's why. And I said, why? He said, well, because nobody wants to meet a guy in a parking lot and trade a car for 25,000 cash. I mean, they don't know you. You could have somebody down the road pull him over and take the money back. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't think of that. I don't think that way, And so we meet at the bank, and I pull the money out, and I set it down there, and the guy said, okay, do you want to count this? I said, well, they'll count it for you. Just run it through the thing, and they'll count it. And so we ran it through the thing, and he said, they're going to fill out a form with this much money. They're going to fill out a form wanting to know where it came from and all that kind of stuff. And he said, do you have any problem with that? And I'm like, no. He said, well, you're not like a bookie or anything, are you? I mean, literally, that's what he asked me. I said, no. And he looked, and I could tell he wanted to know what it is. Well, I'm a minister. He goes, really? I said, yeah, and I pulled out a card, and I gave him a card. Because I didn't want to tell him who I was beforehand, right? And so it's just so funny to watch their face. So they took the money on, they're running it through, and they're like, so you're a minister, and you got this kind of money? I said, well, I hadn't had it long. I just got the money. I said, I told God what I wanted. God told some people to buy it. They put it together. This is it. This is your car. I found you. Here we are. It's done. It was all done within a week. Right? From the time I said I needed the car to the time we signed the paperwork was within a week. $25,000 cash. Amen? Now, I don't have that kind of money laying around. I could show you my bank account. We don't have that kind of money laying around. Right? But I told God. I told him, I said, I need a new car, and I don't want to spend my money for it. I don't want to spend my money for it. This is your job. I'm going to be running all over this country for you. You should buy it. Amen? And he did. And it's a good car. I enjoy it. It's a good ride. Now, when I get back home, you know, it's a good car. But that's, you understand? All I'm trying to tell you is, look, if you get with God, He is your Father. He'll take care of you. You know? I had to work for my first car, but my dad bought it, but I paid him back. Amen? What? My Heavenly Father buys my cars now. And the beauty of it is, I don't have to pay it back. Amen? Amen? It's a gift. He gives it. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful for what He does. But whatever... See, I live a great life. We don't live big. We live very common. Very common. I mean, when I'm on the road, if I'm paying for the motel room, me and the guys, when we go on the road, it's Motel 6, right? I don't stay in the Hilton or whatever, or anything else. I don't do that. Why? Because you're just going to sleep there overnight. Big deal. Amen? Yeah, but people treat me great. They put me up. They put me in hotels I wouldn't pay for. Okay? Just my wife laughs at me. She goes, I don't want to go on this trip. You're going to stay in Motel 6. I know what you're going to do, you know? The beds are hard. They're not comfortable. I'm like, we're only there for a night. Yeah, but you're on the road for 21 days. You know? But that's just the way I think. And these guys that travel with me, I told them, I said, listen, you come alongside. I'll work with you, but here's the bottom line is, we don't talk money. You know? Because a lot of people say, well, I'm coming to Dallas to work for you, and I'm going to believe God. What you really mean is, you're going to believe Curry. And I told them, I said, I'm doing you the way Dr. Summerall did us. We're not going to talk money. You're going to believe God. You're going to trust God. And the money is there. And now, I tell them this. When you're on the road with me, wherever I go, you go. Wherever I sleep, you sleep. Whatever I eat, you eat. If I eat a steak, you all eat steak. Amen? Why? Because I'm not going to, we're not all doing the same part of the job, but we're all working for God. God meets all of our needs the same. And I'm telling you, if you learn this, it's not a matter of you have to sow to get. Now you get to give because you know whatever you give, God will meet. Amen? And one more thing before I let you go here, because I want to send you... Oh, we still got a little bit of time. We're doing... You just missed a break, that's all. So, because, for instance, you always hear people say, okay, now listen, we're going to take up an offering at some point. We will sometime today, I'm sure. But they'll say, okay, we're going to take up an offering. Now, let's just take a moment and ask God what He wants you to give, right? That's not biblical. That is not biblical. The Bible says, let every man purpose in his heart what he will give. You purpose. You decide. Why? Because God says if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's off of the sowing and reaping. If you try to make... See, when you say, God, what am I supposed to give? You're putting God in charge of your reaping. You're trying to abdicate your position to God and go, well, God, you choose. No, He said, no, you choose. And whatever you choose, how much do you want to be blessed back? And whatever you choose to give, I'll multiply it back to you. He said, but you decide. I can't make that decision for you. You decide. Now, the fact is, honestly, it's very dangerous to tell God that. Because if you tell God, what am I supposed to give? He's going to say, because see, He doesn't look at your bills and then look at how much money you make. See, He doesn't judge that way. He doesn't look at that and go, let's see, here's how much you make, here's your bills. Okay, if you can give this, and that'll leave this much left over. He doesn't think that way. God says, oh, because He has no limits. So He doesn't think limits. He said, God, how much you want me to give? He said, give it all. And then you'll say, get behind me, Satan. You know? That's what you'll do, right? Because you won't do what he says to do, okay? And really, I always tell everybody, if we're going to take up the offering, you know, everybody stand up. Don't do it. I'm just telling you, this is the way I do it a lot of times. I say, look, you stand up, you take out your wallet, take out your, you know, your checkbook or whatever it is, and then you hand it to the person next to you. And once everybody's handed it next to them, now give like you've always wanted to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look. See? Because that's really when you start to give out. See? But see, that's what the ministry is. We're just giving out, not out of our bank account, out of God's. See, what I'm giving you, this isn't out of me, it's out of Him. So all I'm doing, I'm just passing on to you what I'm getting from Him. And the good thing is, He makes me look real good doing it. Right? But I know where it's coming from. You may not know where it's coming from, but I do. And because of that, yeah, I'm free with it. Why? Because freely I've received, so freely I give. Amen? But if you learn to live this way, I'm telling you, it's stress-free. It's amazing because you really... Now, I'm not talking about, oh, if I could do that, I'd be driving this kind of car and living in this kind of house. And cause, no, it's because your mind's just, it's wrong, right? That kind of... God is not against you having a nice car, a nice house, none of that kind of stuff. But he said, listen, he said in Matthew, he said, look, don't think about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and where you're going to live, and all this kind of stuff. He said, that's the way the pagans do it. He said, Gentiles, that's pagans. Or that's what he thought of pagans. He said, that's what the Gentiles think. He said, in other words, he's saying, that's the way people that don't have a God think. You get that? He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to have. He said, that's what people that don't have a God worry about. You have a heavenly Father. He said, the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, but He takes care of them. Amen? And once you learn this, you realize, wow, I got a heavenly Father. He takes care of me. And He does better for me than I would do for myself. Amen? You know, because honestly, I'm for the most part, in the times past, really, I've been a tightwad. I mean, I'm, you know, don't like to. We don't even have an office building in Dallas yet. We got back down there, and I went and looked at buildings. I just don't like spending a lot of money for a building that's maybe sitting empty a good part of the time. I don't like that. I like it to be useful. We have a house that I have six guys that work with me. They're volunteers. They travel with me, and I have this house, and when we moved down, I moved, you know, my family and the family and all. And then, but while I was in Australia, my wife had to find the house for us to move into. She had to find the house for the guys to live in. And so we had to get two houses. We've never had to rent two houses in our life. But now we are. And we put these guys in. They're living there. Well, now we have all of our media being duplicated and everything in that house. So now they're living there, and they got their media stuff there. So they're all... It's amazing. It was a great deal because now they're working 24 hours a day. You know, they never quit. You know, I mean, they're always doing stuff, but they're right there, and it's amazing how it's all working out. And yet, I'm telling you, it's amazing if you look at what God is doing with us. The economy and all that stuff has not touched us. It has not touched us. I'm telling you. And the testimonies we get back from the people that are honest. I'm not pushing. This isn't a partner meeting. I'm telling you, the testimony we get from partners, it's not affecting them. Why? Because they know how to operate in kingdom principles. It is the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants you to eat. He wants you to dress nice. He wants you to take care of people. He wants you to have enough money to take care of people that don't have anything. He wants you to be able to pay your bills on time so that you're a good testimony in your community. He wants you to be able to support missionaries. He wants you to be able to give offerings to ministers that come in and to help people. If you're walking down the street and you see somebody needs help and they say, hey, have you got some money? He wants you to be able to say, yeah, and reach your hand in your pocket and not go, wait a minute, okay, got 20s here, 5s here, 1s here. Okay, hang on, let me get... See, he don't want you to think that way. He wants you to be able to reach your hand in your pocket and whatever you pull out, you can give to them. Why? He said, well, you tell me you anybody that asks you, you give them stuff? Yeah. Why? Because he said, give to any man that asks you. Why? And they said, well, don't you know they're going to buy drugs or alcohol with that? Well, that's between them and God. That's not between me. Between me and God is that I give to whoever asks me. Amen? If they want to do it now, I do generally tell them, this is from God. What you do with it, God's watching. He gave it to me, He's watching where it goes. Right? I'll tell them that. If they say, hey, I need money for food, I'll say, let's go eat. And I'm not going to take them to, you know, someplace cheap necessarily. I'll take them to a good place. A place where it takes a little while to get your meal. So that while we're sitting there, I can preach to them. Amen? And I'm not preaching to them because, well, you know, the reason you're in this mess is because you're not a Christian. I don't tell them that. I tell them, you know what? Do you know why I can take you out to eat? Because I am a Christian. God blesses me. He takes care of me. And I have an abundance so that I can meet your need as well as my need. Amen? Do you understand that? And once you do that, they go, really? I'm interested in that. You know? How do you know? Because I have a Heavenly Father. He takes care of me. I tell people all the time, you drop me off anywhere in the world with nothing, I'll rise to the top. Why? Because God is with me. Why? I've learned to think like Abraham. Abraham told Lot. They said, it's too much here. We got too many people, too many animals. We got to split. Abraham said, all right, you want to go that way? You go that way, I'll go this way. But if you want to go that way, I'll go that way. And why? And it said, Lot looked and saw that that land was good. But you know, Abraham didn't care what land was good. You know why? Because he knew wherever he went, God would make that land good. That's what I've learned. See, you can't get over on me. You can't beat me. I've already won. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. You understand? So you can't get over on me. Right? You may think you did, but God's watching, and He blesses me 50 times over, and I don't even know why. Oh, where'd that come from? I don't know. Glory to God. And it's amazing. See, once you have to change your mind to believe the Word of God and believe God wants to take care of you. Amen? Does this make sense? You say, what does this got to do with healing? Everything. This is talking about lifestyle. This is talking about how you look at it. Because the one thing that stood out about Jesus was that He never recognized even the possibility of lack. Right? Think about this. He needed tax money. What did He do? Did he sow? Did He tell, here, Judas, take some money from the person. Go sow so we can reap. He didn't, did He? He sent a fisherman to go fishing. Why? He said, hey, you know, well, if any of you boys have been farmers, I'd send you out in the field and have you plow a field. But since you're just fishermen, here, Peter, go. I know you've been wanting to go fishing. Here's your chance. Go fish. You come back after the first fish. Take the money out of the first fish's mouth, right? You know why I had to tell him that? Because there ain't no fisherman in the world that'll leave the creek while the fish are biting. Amen? He had to tell him, after you get that first one, you come back. Don't stay there all day. You come back here and bring the money, right? He even let him do what he liked doing. Amen? I'm sure there's a little bit of a test, you know. You're going to stay there. You're going to come back. You see? He didn't sow. He reaped without sowing. Why? Because he lived by kingdom principle. Isn't that amazing? These are things that you don't always hear about, but it teaches you how to live. And once we get this down, we will be such a bigger blessing to the world. Amen? We've got to change the culture. We've got to change cities. Right? And healing is great and it's awesome and it is a proof of God. Amen? Because it's something that man can't do. But we have to also, it's like William Booth used to say, you can't talk to people about Christ when their stomachs are growling so loud that they can't hear you. You got to feed them. You got to clothe them. There's a lot more to it than just being spiritual and having gifts. Right? Giving is a gift. Amen? We've got to learn how to do this. How to live for God and just trust Him. Amen?